Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So I have read with real interest the history of this magnificent church. I used to come here when I was leading Youth Alive. You can see looking at me, I'm no longer leading Youth Alive. I hope they're not that cruel in the South. This crew were cruel. I remember the first time I ever preached here on the stage. It was a little different here, and they had all the board behind me. When you're 27 and you've got 12 of the big boys behind you, all wearing suits, not smiling, I'm going to tell you, you pray hard. And so I've had the joy of being part of this church and its journey from the outside, coming in occasionally for the last 40 years. And in this moment, it's an absolute joy for the church I lead in Southeast Queensland called Hope Centre to release Lynn and I to just come and love you and serve you as a transition moment as we get ready for another 100 years. And so if we've never met, Wayne Alcorn is my name. And on behalf of all of our team in every site, we want to genuinely thank you for being here. And we want to genuinely invite you to be part of things tonight. And here's the deal. It's not just sentiment. It's not just romance. We're not just looking back with rose-colored glasses on the things that happened. We are grateful. But let me speak to young people for a minute. If you want to chart your future, it's important that you know your past. It gives you a platform to believe that the faithfulness of God that brought us this far will take us into the exciting adventures of faith. And today we will be talking a little of some of the things that God has done over the last few decades. How that in 1916, a small group of people got together in the outer suburb of Sunshine and began to pray for revival. It was led by a person by the name of C.L. Greenwood, Charles Greenwood. And I saw on the end of the video, how amazing was that video, by the way? Would you thank the team for presenting that and doing that? Every one of you is so grateful. You did a magnificent job. And I don't know if you saw it, but when you come tonight, you'll see the poster in the foyer. There's a statement by C.L. Greenwood. It was in the Evangel. The Assemblies of God, now called the ACC, used to have a magazine called the Australian Evangel. C.L. Greenwood wrote in the 1920s, he said, "Little did this company of people know what God had in store for them." It was amazing. For 9 years they prayed, and for 9 years, C.L. Greenwood led that prayer and led those moments. And then they outgrew that, and God was bringing them into the city. And they needed a larger facility, and they finally purchased a permanent place of worship just around the corner at 343 Bridge Road, Richmond, and they called it Richmond Temple. I obviously, over this last 12 months, I've been in and out of the city, and sometimes I walk from the hotel down to the church building here, and I was walking along Bridge Road a few months ago, and I saw a small plaque on Bridge Road that celebrated the fact that in 1927, they were putting tram tracks down along Bridge Road. And it dawned on me that man was getting prepared to move people. But already, the Spirit of God was moving His people into what would be an amazing work of God. The ministry was led in the early days by A.C. Valdez, a revivalist from the U.S. He was followed by another American called Dr. K.R. Glover. And finally, the leadership was handed to Pastor Charles C.L. Greenwood in 1929, and he led that ministry for 40 years. Now, during the course of my preparation for today, I've been reading a number of things, and I came across some board minutes, and I found out why Pastor Greenwood stayed here for 40 years. They offered him the amazing sum per week of £8 as his salary. Who would say no to that? And he became the leader, and he led this place for the next 40 years, and the pastors that followed them are like a roll call of heroes of faith in this nation, and we'll be honoring a number of them as the day unfolds, and all the teams and the pastors and the board members, etc., that have served with them. And though things have changed, I don't know if you have noticed, Fashion's changed, music styles have changed, hairdos have changed, and all those kinds. You women, I can't see one of you wearing hats today in church. Not one of you. It's a disgrace. The only people wearing hats are the guys today. That's for another day. And styles have changed, and that's fine. But one thing hasn't changed is our God has never changed. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. And let me tell you what else hasn't changed. The DNA of this house. This church has always been Pentecostal. We believe to experience the fire of the Holy Ghost. We believe to see the power and the glory of the Spirit of God. This church has always been missional. It's been a leading church in this nation. And tonight we'll hear from Pastor John how this church for many, many years has sent not only finances, but people into the nations of the world. This church has always been evangelistic. Richmond Temple, now Pneuma Church, has always been a soul-winning church. We're here to win lost people for Jesus. In fact, I saw on the records in 1931, the baptism register. There was 102 people baptized right in the year 1931. Every month had a number of people getting baptized, except in June and July, in the middle of winter. Not one person got baptized. And I have no understanding why in Melbourne. But here's what I do know. When the gospel was preached, signs and wonders have followed. Even this weekend, we're hearing stories. And through the decades, there's been incredible, mighty miracles as the Spirit of God has worked upon the hearts and the lives and the bodies of people. And the other thing about Richmond Temple, now Pneuma Church, it's always been a church planting church. Always been a church planting church. And the way we plant churches has changed over the years. But the one thing I know is you've had great leaders that understand Ephesians 4 that says that pastors and leaders and all of the spiritual gifts that are given to the church have been given to empower people for the work of the ministry. And I heard there from Pastor Greenwood. He said, we're not afraid of letting people go to start other churches. Seeds being scattered across the city, across the state, across the nation and across the nations as this church fulfilled the mandate upon it to plant other churches. I actually saw recently one of the team gave me the family tree of Richmond Church. And it's amazing. Not only do we have a number of locations across our ministry who are joining today, but this church has planted churches that are now planting churches. We're a mother church. We're a grandmother church, we're a great-grandmother church. And that's worth celebrating, all that God has done. I have a very dear friend who's a missiologist and he's a student of modern church history. Lynn and I lead a church in Brisbane that's nowhere near as old as this. It's only 95 years old. And I had a friend who walked around Brisbane with me not so long ago and he looked at our church and it's got the breath of God on it and just seeing some wonderful things happen. And he said, you know what's amazing? He said, churches, when they get to 80, 90 years of age, especially inner city churches, most of them are shut down. But we're here today to say the breath of God is upon this house. And this ministry is alive and well. Somebody say amen. Because the Savior we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm going to tell you, we're not just going to look back with sentiment. We are going to look back. It's pretty cool. You get to my age, you look back a lot. I want to buy a T-shirt that says, the older I get, the better I was. And you get that one day. You're worth waiting for. And it is good to look back, but also let's, with faith, look forward to what God is going to do. Because there's a question that demands response on a day like today. Here it is. What will people be saying about us in 100 years from now? Or even 50? Or 20 years from now? What will they be saying about us? See, I have a strong commitment that having been given a legacy, we need to leave one. When your life is done, how will they summarize it in just a sentence? What will they put on your tombstone? I know it's morbid, but how will they summarize your life in just a few words? I've already told Lynn what I want. I told you I was sick. If you've ever suffered the man flu, guys, you'll understand exactly what I'm saying. But when your life is done, when it's all said and done, you breathed your last, what will you leave that will live longer than you? And that's the question we have to ask on a day like today. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, chapter 19. You know, there's been a song that's been in my heart, and I'm sure it's as we got closer to this weekend. I walked past the stand outside the bookstore here in the city location, and there are available for you to get today for a donation, redemption hymnals. Who remembers the redemption hymnal? And you can still lift your hand. Come on, who remembers them? Yeah, that's pretty cool. And some of those grand old hymns that, and we're going to actually, hey, listen, let me tell you, if you're slightly mature in age, let me tell you a good reason to come tonight. We're going to sing some of the hymns out of the Redemption Hymnal. Oh, yeah, we are, as well as some of the latest and greatest songs that are coming out of the church in the 21st century. But there's been a song that's just, I just haven't been able to shake it. It says, God is moving by his Spirit, moving through all the earth. How many remember that one? Signs and wonders when God moves. And then the song finishes with this, move, oh Lord, in me. You know, a lot of us are believing for a move of God, but you know what God's looking for? A move of us. Move of us. People that actually understand eternity. People that understand legacy. That we're not just going to live for ourselves and consume everything that we've received, but we're going to, in Jesus' name, make sure generations are set up, make sure others are changed forever because of how we live and give in his name. So in Luke 19, here's a passage that really does reflect the moment that we are in. It says that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. We've already taken a vote with the worship and production team. Some people call him Zacchaeus. Who does that? Who calls him Zacchaeus? The latter have it. So he's Zacchaeus for today. And Zacchaeus, we hear, was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Here we see the Son of God coming to the city of Jericho, which itself had quite a history. And a man called Zacchaeus lived there, and Dr. Luke, who was given to detail in his Gospels, he writes and he tells us a number of things about Zac. Number one, he was the chief tax collector. Now, in those days, the tax collectors were seen as corrupt. They were in cahoots with the Romans, and they were a despised group. Nobody liked the tax people. Now, can I tell you, if you're serving our nation and you work for the ATO today, we honor you and we thank God for you, and our returns are on the way. But in those days, they were despised. People didn't want them. You know, they weren't even allowed to get in the temple or the synagogue. Like lepers, they were kept out because they were seen as vile and repulsive people. And yet, you know, when he was born, you know, his parents, they looked at that little child the day he was born and they declared, and you shall be called Zacchaeus. How many people know what their name means? I found out mine a few years ago when our oldest son was born. I looked up my name. Because I've heard people say my name means friend of God, you know, little favorite person, you know, pure but wonderful human being and all those kind of things. I looked up mine. You know what I found out Wayne means? Wagon maker. Changed my life. When Zacchaeus was born, you know, and in particularly in Bible days and even in our days, we make declarations over our kids and prophesy this is what they will be. You know, Zacchaeus means pure and innocent. And yet pure and innocent isn't allowed to go and worship the holy God. Doesn't it make you wonder what happened? He's now seen as vile. What went wrong? Through his life, he accumulated wealth. It says he was rich. And how he got that money was obviously questionable. But one thing we do know, money didn't satisfy that ache in his soul. The great evangelist of the 20th century, Billy Graham, said every human has a God-shaped hole and nothing but no one but God can fill it. He had this ache. The third thing we are told by Luke is that he wanted to see Jesus. How many know there is a spiritual hunger inside every human being? They can't always describe it. I even believe in this nation that they're telling us we're becoming more secular and we're more less interested in God. I'm going to tell you, in Australia right now, there is a genuine interest in spiritual things. There's a hunger. And he wanted to see Jesus. Just like in John 12, there's a group of Greek people that go up to John. And they said simply this, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see him." But here's the big problem for poor old Zach. The Bible says he was short. And we know that crowds can be a problem for vertically challenged people. In Hope Center, for a number of years, we ran a program and a facility for people that are trying to break addictions, especially alcohol and drugs, etc. And I would often go there. And I went there one day and a new guy had arrived. And one of the guys said, "Pastor Wayne, you need to meet Jeff." I said, "Oh, where is he?" He said, "He's over there. He's so short, you can even see his feet in his passport photo." That's short, people. Zacchaeus had the same challenge, but he wanted to see Jesus and he found a solution. Read on with me and you'll see how he did it. He climbed a tree. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately." This is the Holy Son of God speaking to the one that the community thought was repulsive. He said, "I must stay in your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He's gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "Lord, look, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor." Isn't this a classic line from a tax guy? "And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, this is beautiful, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. And the ministry of Jesus that's been passed on to this church was declared in verse 10, for the Son of Man came to," read it with me, "seek and save the lost." God's heart for humanity was to send his son to seek and save the lost. A few chapters earlier in the book of Luke, chapter 15, we read that there was 1 in 100 sheep lost. There was 1 in 10 coins lost. There was 1 in 2 sons lost. And Jesus is making a point. It doesn't matter what the ratio is. If it's lost, they need to be found. Men and women, boys and girls across our city, our state, our nation, the nations of the world, if they are lost, they have to be found. Can you say amen? And this lost man was found by Jesus, and that encounter was amazing. Jesus saw, this is amazing. The Bible says Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Do you know what a phenomenal miracle that was for Zacchaeus in that moment? When people would see this guy, they would cross to the other side of the street. If they had to actually encounter him, they'd look down. Nobody wanted to look at him. He was vile. They hated the tax collectors. But the Son of God looked at him, and in just fixing his eyes on him, you know what he gave him? Dignity. Yes. He said, "You matter." He called him by name. That encounter was incredible as this man met the Messiah. And his life was changed forever. Don't you love the stories that we hear at water baptism days? I get moved almost every time we have a water baptism, no matter what site, no matter where it is, when I see people, young and old, and especially if I know their story. I think nobody could change your life but for Jesus. His life was changed forever, and all sorts of incredible things flowed out of that, flowed out of it. And the difference between that man meeting Jesus and it not being a possibility. There was only one thing that separated that moment where Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus from the moment he was able to. You know, the one thing that made the difference was a tree. A tree, a sycamore fig tree. Have we got a photo of that? He climbed one of them. If the tree wasn't there, it's highly likely this man would never have met the Son of God. The tree. Now, when you read your Bible, can I give you some very good advice, especially if you're a fairly new believer? But even those of us that, you know, we've been following Jesus for decades, don't just read the words. Capture the moment. Read it with the video playing. See the story unfold and ask questions. You know the question I ask every time I read the Bible? It's kind of like the kids' game, where's Wally? I ask the question, where am I? Remember when they lined up to throw rocks at the woman caught in adultery? I asked the question, where would I have been? Standing with her, standing with Jesus, or standing with the Pharisees? Where am I in this moment? Ask the questions. I ask lots of questions. I ask questions all the time. As I get older, I'm asking questions all the time. Where's my keys? Where's my phone? Where's my glasses? I ask questions all the time. And I ask questions when I'm reading the Bible. Here's one of the questions I ask when I read this story. It's a very, very important question as we celebrate 100 years of this great church. That tree made the difference, but here's the big question. Who planted the tree? I'm here today to answer that question. We don't know. We don't know. Scripture doesn't record it. History doesn't record it. They are nameless. But what I don't know is, like one of my young staff suggested a while ago, it was probably just some droppings from some random bird that flew over. I smiled at him and lovingly said, then you don't understand Bible history. You don't understand the situations and geography of those days. It was actually strategic and intentional planting. You see, back in those days, the civic authorities would plant trees outside city walls so that people, when they're on a journey, the poor people especially that couldn't afford lodgings and couldn't go somewhere and purchase a meal, they would, on their journey, they would at least be able to find protection, they'd find shade, and probably be able to find some fruit from those things that someone planted years earlier that would help them on their way. It was strategically planted. And as I read that, it dawns on me, the kingdom of God is like that. This church is like that. Full of people that are motivated more by significance than prominence. Listen, I'm going to make an apology up front. Somebody, we are going to forget you today to acknowledge you during this 100-year anniversary. There's a promise. It won't be intentional. Somehow, some way, we're not always celebrated. Our names don't always go up in light. But that doesn't matter in the kingdom of God. There's only one name that really matters. And his name is, Jesus. His name is, Jesus. Yes. The kingdom of God is all about people, nameless people that do what they can so that others can see Jesus. That's what this is all about. Someone had to sacrifice. Somebody purchased seed or a seedling. They got their hands dirty. They dug a hole. Someone came along and watered it when it was nothing at all. It didn't seem much at all. 1916, a few people start to pray in a little outside suburb called Sunshine. Who would have known? 100 years from now, countless thousands, or dare I say, tens of thousands of people have met Jesus because of what they were doing way back then, and we honor them today. They did what they could. Those people could never have imagined what their investment would have yielded. They would never have known. They would never have known that someone would have met Jesus and his life would then have just that change causing a domino effect. The poor were helped. Justice was restored. He paid back four times what he'd stolen. The kingdom of God continued to advance. But it wouldn't have happened without a tree. And the tree wouldn't have been there if someone hadn't done what they could many years earlier. Never knowing what it would be like. That somebody who had limitations. See, nobody chooses their height. You don't choose your skin color. You don't choose your eye color. You don't choose your height. Some things are out of your control. But in the crowd for Zacchaeus that day, there were limitations that caused him to literally not be able to meet Jesus. Society today is filled with people who've got limitations. Some of them have had very bad experiences or heard of bad experiences through churches that actually didn't do church the way Jesus wants it to be done. Some people have experienced dead religion And they think that's what Jesus is. They measure Jesus and they measure churches like us against dead religion. Back in the old days, I was actually part of the health department and running clinics where children would be immunized. You inoculate children and give them just a little dose of something so they never get the full condition. That's what religion does. You just get a little dose of religion so you never ever get the full experience of Christianity. Some people weren't born into a Christian home. Some children, you school teachers, you meet children in your class tomorrow. They think Jonah is somebody that plays for the Sydney Swans. They have no idea of the great stories of the Old Testament, New Testament. Some people were born in nations that have not got a dynamic church, that have not got vivid, powerful presentations of the good news of Jesus, and it's not their fault. But we can help them. We can help them overcome that limitation by planting a tree. There's a theologian by the name of Elton Trueblood. Isn't that a good name? Elton Trueblood. And he said this: we have made a start on discovering the true meaning of life when we plant shade trees under which we know full well we never will sit. That's the true meaning of life. Planting trees. I may never enjoy its shade, but someone in the generations that follow will. I said a moment ago that I, with Lynn, have the joy of leading a church. It was once called Glad Tidings Tabernacle. It was planted by William Booth's grandson, William Booth Clibborn. In the 1930s, somewhere mid-1930, they started to meet in a tent. I think we got a photo of it. And they began to have services. And hundreds of people started to come to Christ. The 1930s, by the way, Australia and the world was in the grip of the Great Depression. Our nation had 30% unemployment. Money was scarce. And they met in a tent. But they began to take up offerings. They began to prophesy there's going to be a great church birth. And out of that church, other churches will be birthed. Missions will happen, miracles and souls. And they began to prophesy it. And so they began to invest in that. There's a lady in there who used to be the musician for William Booth Clibborn. Her brother was in our church. We buried him only a few years ago. His name was George. He came to me when we were launching a new building fund for another location. And he grabbed my hand and he said, "Pastor Wayne, thank you for the faith you're showing." He said, "Never ever apologize for asking us to give." He said, "I, with my sister, were in that tent." And he said, they began to declare and believe that we can actually build a building in the Great Depression debt-free. And he said, they'd take up the offering. They'd go out the back of the tent and count it and come back and say, "We haven't got enough for the bricks this week." They'd take up another one and another one. He said, we usually took up four offerings on a Sunday. And they say modern churches talk about money too much. And they gave and gave and gave. And then eventually, just 2 years later, they opened a new building. Glad Tidings Tabernacle. And that church was there. Lynn and I arrived at that church in the year 2000. For the next few years, God breathed on this. It grew and grew and grew. And then a few years later, it was destroyed through an arson attack. And, you know, all sorts of things have happened since then. Actually, the church exploded after the fire. But here's what I know. Out of that ministry, churches have been planted. Missions has happened. And you know what? It's all because in the Great Depression, people gave till it hurt. They prayed, they sowed, they invested. And today we're living in the wake of all they did for Jesus. Just like Richmond Temple, just like Bridge Church, just like Pneuma Church, the wonderful pioneers who prayed for the Sunshine Revival, who gave to the building funds, who sowed into missions, who served in all kinds of areas. Today we are living in the fruit that remains because of them. And I want us all to give praise to God. And come on, in every side. Come on in the east. Come on in the west. Come on in south and Hobart and Adelaide. Come on, give praise to God. He's been good. Our God is faithful, but we're actually surrounded by faith-filled people that did what they could in Jesus' name. Never ever getting the recognition or the glory. But one day they will hear, well done, good and faithful tree planter. You help somebody. You help generations see Jesus. Today I'm going to invite Dee and the team as they're going to lead us in a few moments in worship. Because ultimately our gratitude doesn't just go to men and women. It goes to the head of the church, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is even greater and so much greater than any man. The writer of Hebrews celebrates him, and his name is Jesus. And he is, verse 1 of Hebrews 12 is so fitting for today. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Oh, couldn't we just pause there for a moment? Let us throw off everything. Say everything.
Everything.
You know, as human beings, we slowly but surely get clutter in our hearts. We get baggage in our souls. But on a day like today, I declare in Jesus' name, it's a day to throw off everything that hinders, every sin that easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Hey, generations ran the race marked out, but we've got another race. It's our day. And here's how we run. Verse 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Who, this word, it's in such contrast to the context. For the joy, say joy. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Scorning its shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did Jesus have joy? Look this way in every sight. He saw you. I don't know who planted a tree. I don't know how you got to meet him. But he saw you. He saw you. The prophet Isaiah saw him even centuries earlier. Says in Isaiah 53, it was the Lord's will to crush him, cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a sin offering, here's the deal. I love this line. He will see his offspring. That's us, people. He will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. How many know we're here today because of the cross? And today, there'll be great stories, and we'll look back and we'll thank God for people and programs and opportunities that we've all had. There's someone that transcends it all. He's the one that gave his all so that we could have it all. Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.